Gary Cobb to talk about this weekend's Eagles matchup. He's the co-host of the Fox 29 Eagles pregame live and the G. Cobb Bird Report weekly podcast, presented exclusively by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, backed by the number one casino in PA. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's say good morning, Gary Cobb. How you doing?
How are you guys doing? I'm doing great. And, belated happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Same to you, Gary. Got to ask you about this, though, Gary. All of your teams that you ever played for coming off of losses here. Is this the G. Cobb curse? What's going on?
I got nothing to do with it, you know. I tell you, you know what it is. It's the thing that I was going to talk about some here, which is turnovers. If you turn the ball over, you lose. And that's what it's all about. It's all about the turnovers. You know, other than the score of the game, the number one thing that helps you lose is turnovers. And I don't care how much yardage you gain, if you turn that ball over, you lose.
Well, Gary, just another somewhat the lighthearted thing is we were debating in the first hour, should Detroit and Dallas have exclusive province to the Thanksgiving Day games, or do you think we should rotate this?
You know, of course, they're going to fight to not change it, but it's an advantage for them, really. You know, they didn't take advantage of it, but it's a tremendous advantage each year that they play those games, you know, so... I would like to see it change, you know, so that they always have a good game. You know, have some good games on Thanksgiving. But I think with Dallas' status and everything, well, as long as Jerry Jones is here, you know, he's not going to change. And I guess the Fords have a lock on that as well. So I don't know that it's going to change. I think it would be fair if it did.
Yeah, that Trubisky blow matchup at noon Thursday, really, I'm sure Buffalo ratings for that. But, Gary, I've been offering the commentary in the first hour here that there's still way too much upside on Carson Wentz to embrace any kind of buyer's remorse. I think he has been really affected by offensive line play, missed the time due to injury, and just a total breakdown amongst his wide receivers. Give me your thoughts on that. Do you still see a lot of upside in number 11?
Without a doubt. You know, I think that, you know, people don't realize, you know, I mean, how talented he is. And really, with what happened last week, you know, the turnovers were key and everything, but there were some times where, you know, he didn't come out and say it, where you got a guy running the wrong route, and, you know, he doesn't know where the guy's going and things like that, but he has shown a great deal of character in that he took the hit. And, you know, I was over there at the game last week, and after it, you know, such a horrible game, and he admitted it's probably his worst game that he's played as a pro, and going down there and saying, well, how is he going to deal with it? He came right out. He say, hey, it's on me. I take responsibility. I didn't play well enough. I didn't do a good enough job to help the guys and blah, blah, blah. He did not mention anybody else. You know, that's great leadership, and that's tremendous character. And, you know, it's not easy in Philly. Come on, it gets hotter in Philadelphia if you're not playing well as a quarterback. Maybe than any other spot in the country. I mean, it gets hot in that seat if you're not playing well. And he took it on, and it says a lot about him. And you know, I think the big thing I see in Wentz, the guy's a fighter. You know, he plays like that. Now, he's got to learn, hey, stay away from the turnovers. And, you know, one clear thing is just looking at, let's say, you got two young, well, relatively young quarterbacks in Wentz and Dak Prescott. And you compare them to Tom Brady. Tom Brady hasn't played well in the last few weeks, but you know what he does? He doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, he will throw it out of bounds and punt rather than turn it over. And see, those guys got to learn that, hey, if you want to win, you don't turn the ball over. You got a good defense. You let your defense keep you in it, but don't turn the ball over, and that's the way you win. And so I think Carson is a tremendous leader. He's been able to deal with, you know, the criticism, and he stands up. And you know, he's got some criticism before. He comes back. I think he's going to be he's going to have a great career. You know, he hasn't really been helped this year. I mean, the wide receivers and all the injuries and things. It's tough to continue when you got so many guys going in and out. But I'm a Carson Wentz guy. I still believe in him.
speaking with Gary Cobb on This Week in Pro Football. Gary, we've been talking about Dallas and Philadelphia kind of giving the division back and forth between the two teams. Nobody really wants to take ownership of the division. As far as you're concerned, what's the state of the NFC East and the NFC East winner heading into the playoff season?
Well, right now, it definitely looks like it needs it. Not the Eagles or the Cowboys want to step up and take it. So I can see right now it's a big question mark over the division. And I think it's there to be had. And, of course, the Eagles are really sitting in a great spot. All they've got to do is, you know, play the way they're capable. But they got to step it up. And we're going to see, you know, which one of these teams is going to step up and take it, because ultimately that's what's going to have to happen. And I think that you know, the Giants and the Redskins, you know, they're at different points in their team's history right now, both of them in rebuilding stages. But somebody's going to wind up making it out of here, and hopefully it's one of them takes it rather than the other one just you know, stinking up the joint so bad that the other just gets it by default. Hopefully one of these teams will take it, and hopefully it'll be the Eagles, but we'll just have to wait and see. But right now, it's like, you know, they're playing hot potato and nobody wants it.
I know. All right, Gary, now the Eagles enter the part of their schedule where they play a literal bunch of stiffs, all right? So I wanted to ask you now, as a long and decorated career with Detroit and Dallas and Philadelphia, you have stood on sidelines of teams that were out of it come the first week of December. I've long held the theory that when you're a team that's vying for a playoff berth and you're playing one of these teams that are already out of it, that you got to show them in the first quarter that it's not your day. And keep the golf clubs in the trunk. Is there a validity to that theory? Meaning, if the Eagles just smack Miami early tomorrow, they should win the game. But if they let them hang around, now you've got a problem.
You better believe what you're saying is very much true. You know, in the NFL at this time of the year, if you come out and jump on these guys, they will say, "Oh well, you know, we're having a bad year anyway. You know, nothing's going to happen today." But if you give them life and you let them get in the game, all of a sudden, you got a fight on your hands. Because talent-wise, they're not as far off as, you know, as people believe. You know, because most of the talent in the league is pretty close. So it comes down to, you know, what's the attitude of the team. And so if you give them that hope that they got a chance to win today, then you got a problem on your hands, because they're going to fight you all the way, and you're going to have a tough time getting out of there, because they're going to be playing loose and confident, and you know they don't have anything to lose, whereas the Eagles are playing and you know they know what they got on the line. So they got to come out early, jump on these Dolphins, and get this thing over fast, you know. And if you give them hope, though, believe me, we'll be sitting on the edge of our seat in the fourth quarter, sweating that they're in a fight with the Dolphins. So the first quarter, jump on them, get it over with, you know. And that's where really, in a lot of ways, the players, you know, have to have discipline, because they looked at tapes of the Dolphins and they see, well, these guys aren't any good. The coach says, hey, these guys are better than they look. But the guys look at the tape and they go, man, these guys aren't any good. They got to show up tomorrow and have the discipline to show up and be ready to play against a good team, because if they mess around and let them get hope, it's going to be trouble, and we're going to be sweating at 4 o'clock.
Gary, kind of piggybacking off of that, what does concern you about the Dolphins tomorrow?
Well, you know, Fitzpatrick and that deep ball, you know, that's the thing that he loves to throw the ball downfield, and you know, in the NFL, you throw the ball downfield, you can just benefit from a couple of interference penalties. And the next thing you know, you're on the doorstep and you score and you get a lead. And all of a sudden, you know, the Eagles start pressing because that's something that, you know, Carson has got to watch out for, is, hey, let everything come to you. If they were to get behind, you got to go, hey, 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000. Then you got to get that ball out of your hands, because somebody's coming. And he's got to know that. And he's got to, you know, not start pressing. And the other guys can't start pressing, where the big thing you got to do is just do your job. You can't be trying to do somebody else's job. And that's where you get into trouble. And, you know, and the Eagles have had some of that where guys haven't been focused and they're not really, you know, doing their assignment. And, you know, because you really depend on each other. And it's tough. It's tough when you're playing these bad teams. That's why it's so good to come out and jump on them early. And you hit it on the head. If they let this thing, if they mess around and fall behind, then you better get something to hold your stomach, because it's going to be a long afternoon.
Now, Gary, the other team that the Eagles are fencing around with in this god-awful NFC East, Thursday, Dak Prescott throws the ball 49 times. Ezekiel Elliott runs it for 12 times, two times in the second half. Now, I ask you this. Is it a good thing for the Cowboys that they've decided this is Dak's team and not Zeke's team?
Well, I mean, it's foolish, because what they've done is you go there and you get that offensive line. Now, they're a pretty good pass-blocking offensive line, but they're really a run-blocking offensive line. And you put all, you're paying these guys all kind of money. The thing that they need to do is they need to give Zeke, the offense is supposed to be run through Zeke. And so they should be giving him the ball more. But I don't know who's doing what down there, but they kind of lost their way, and they've gotten away from really who they are, which is supposed to be a physical team that runs the ball, and then they throw the ball off play action pass. And when you're throwing the ball off the play action pass, you have less turnovers, because you really don't have to deal with a pass rush as much. And they've gotten away from that, and you know it really they're not the same team, and I think they're going to have problems the rest of the season until they get back to running the ball like they did.
All right. I certainly agree with that. And but tell us this week, Gary, about the G-Cobb Birch Report Weekly podcast. What have you got on it, and where do we find it?
Well, of course, we're talking about Carson and talking about the situation, and we're talking about the receivers, and we're talking about all the things he's been through with his receivers going down, and they got young guys in there running the wrong routes and all the different things. So it's been crazy. But it's very interesting what's happening with the Eagles, and we talk about all that. And, of course, you can check it out on Google Play and Apple Podcasts. It's the G-Cobb Birds Report, and it comes out, you know, every Monday and every Wednesday. We talk about the previous game on Monday and Tuesday, and then on Wednesday we start talking about the next game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.